Study in the book of Ephesians, this passage, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. I don't think we could have chosen better hymns this morning, all pointing to this great war that every Christian is engaged in. So it's a great delight for me, because this is something that is of value for every single one of us. None of us are exempt from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. It behooves all of us to know the truth of what Paul is saying and teaching in this great passage. So I'm looking forward with great delight to going through it for my own spiritual benefit, and I trust for all of ours. So let's look at verse 10 through verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints," or all the saints, "and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." May the Lord bless to us the reading of His Word. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we are confronted by these great words of the Apostle Paul, who is sufficient for these things, we would acknowledge and recognize up front that this power is not ours, but is the Lord's. It is not of us, but of God. And we pray, our Father, that as we begin to contemplate this great passage of Scripture, that by your Spirit you would be pleased to instruct us and to teach us and to encourage us as we fight this great fight, as we wage this great war incessantly against us and within us. So strengthen us, we pray, for this mighty task, and by your Spirit train us in the ways of righteousness, that we might be conformed, each of us, to the likeness and the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself has fought the fight and has overcome the evil one. And so now we commend ourselves to you and pray your blessing upon the preaching of your word for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. What I'd like to do up front is to lay an introduction only this morning to this great passage which is before us. And certainly we come face to face, all of us this morning, with one of those most essential, most important, most significant passages in all of Scripture. Because here, beloved, this morning, you are confronted with instructions from the Apostle Paul about how you are to conduct yourself in this spiritual war, this great warfare that not one of us is exempt from this morning. And the sooner we realize that we are in a conflict, in a war, the better we will be able to be equipped to understand it and to fight against it. This passage, above all passages in Ephesians, and how many beautiful passages there are in Ephesians, but this passage alone, above all other passages, is the culmination of everything that the Apostle Paul has been directing his attention. It's remarkable that he puts it at the end, but it makes perfect sense. He says, finally, in verse 10, he has now come to this great passage because this is where he has intended to come all along. He wishes us to know that everything before, from Ephesians 1 through to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, everything that has gone before has been leading up now to an understanding of the great spiritual struggle that every Christian has and faces constantly every single day of their lives. There is not one day when you are not engaged in this warfare. It is incessant, it is unrelenting, it is permanent, and it will continue until we are with Christ. And the sooner we realize that, we will be better equipped also to understand. So this is a passage about the great personal struggle you have. I know you have it, because Paul had it. I have it. It's about the great individual personal struggle that every Christian is occupied with and must contend with. And so I cannot think of a more relevant or a more significant or more important passage in this 21st century in which we find ourselves than this passage. We are occupied, and we do occupy ourselves with great fundamental biblical theological doctrines that are so precious to us. Yet of what value are those doctrines unless we are able to take them in all of their simplicity, in all of their beauty, in all of their comprehensiveness, and not apply it to our own spiritual life? It's of no value if you can't do that. It is absolutely vital that every Christian grasp the significance that if I know doctrine, believe doctrine, confess the Word of God, that then I must know how to apply that doctrine. And we have said already in this great letter that the apostle has occupied himself in the first three chapters with incredible doctrine, and now in the last three chapters with incredible practice. Practice that is grounded in the doctrine. Practice that is the result of the doctrine. Practice that is the fruit of that doctrinal treatise that he has given us in the first three chapters. You remember the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders, these very elders that he's writing to in this great letter in Acts chapter 20, he called them, you remember, to gather with him on the beach at Miletus. He was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. He couldn't stop in the city of Ephesus, so he called for them to make the journey. And there on the beach, he instructed them and gave them his final goodbye, as it were, before he went on to Jerusalem, telling them that they would not see his face again, and how grieved they were at that. But he told them, he says, I know that after my departure, when I am gone from you, that fierce wolves are going to come in among you who will not spare the flock. And what did he mean when he said fierce wolves? He meant people, false apostles, false teachers, those who would come in with a different doctrine, with a different Jesus, with another gospel, and proclaim that to the Ephesians who have been so grounded in serious biblical truth. And yet they would face internal warfare from people, let alone from sin itself. And so Paul sees this great struggle, does he not? Not as a physical struggle, which we might think of when we talk about warfare or fighting. Paul sees this not as a physical warfare, but as a great spiritual warfare. I mean, look what he says in verse 12. In verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So it's not physical. But we wrestle against the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It might be said of each of us that we have absolutely no idea just what we really are facing. The intensity and the power of the opposition is beyond your comprehension, certainly beyond your power. That's why Paul will say right up front, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. We sang some lines in the different hymns that we sang this morning that talked about being occupied with the strength of God and not our own strength. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand. So this is a war that every one of us who are believers this morning is engaged in. It is beyond our power. It is beyond our strength. And it is beyond our wills. In fact, this is a passage that should eliminate from all of us any pride in self, any arrogance in self, any self-confidence in any ability that you think you have and even that you have been given by God. Do not rely on self-confidence or in your intellectual comprehension or apprehension of certain biblical fundamental doctrines. This is beyond our power and beyond our scope. That is why it is so significant for every believer to grasp the reality of this spiritual contest. Paul understands spiritual darkness. He knows the Ephesians understand spiritual darkness. And so he brings it to the front. These are your enemies. But this is your power and your strength. Not your own, but the Lord's. And this is the armor that you must put on. I love how he says, you're to fight this in verse 10, in the strength of the Lord, in the power of the Lord, in the might of the Lord. And that's what we're to do ourselves. This is a struggle that is spiritual, not physical. I've often loved that story of David, as we all do, I'm sure. David facing Goliath, a young teenager, plucked as it were by God, from obscurity, goes to visit his brothers on the front lines of the battle, only to find that a giant from the Philistine ranks comes out and defies the living God, as well as the king of Israel, as well as all the Israelites. If you can kill me, then we will become your servants forever. But if I kill you, or whoever you send, then you become our servants. And you remember, David understood that by going to wage war against Goliath, that he was not fighting merely in the physical realm. Not just waging war against a monster of a man well trained in all the arts of warfare, whose javelin and whose spear was probably taller and bigger than David itself. But David was fighting, he recognized right up front, a spiritual warfare. It was a spiritual contest. You come to me, Goliath, with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, he said. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defy. That's who I come in. And this day, Goliath, you must know that God will deliver you into my hand. I mean, think about it. And that all this assembly behind me and behind you, all of them this day will know that the Lord saves not by the sword and not by the spear, because the battle is the Lord's. You get it? David got it, 17 years of age or whatever he was. And yet so many of us, including myself, we are in a warfare that overcomes us, that we struggle against, that we experience defeat at constantly. That's why this passage is so prevalently powerful for each Christian. I'm preaching to myself because I'm studying this first and I'm learning. And I'm afraid of the depths of this passage, which I have not comprehended yet. I feel them. I recognize their power. I can sense the direction. And yet I have to confess how far away from the truth and the reality of it is I am so often. Because I fail to do what God tells me to do, which is so evident in the text. That's why I say the Apostle Paul has come to this point by design. He has come to this point by intent. It has been his intention all along to describe the great things of the faith, the great truths, the great doctrines, to bring us to now, to this passage, to these verses. And so when he says in verse 10, finally, Paul is not saying finally by way of afterthought, as if he is saying, oh, there's just one more thing that I must say. That is not what the Apostle Paul is saying. He has come here with purpose. He has aimed at this point with intention and with design. And this is the gathering, brothers and sisters, of all of his teaching, both doctrinal and practical. This is where he has been aiming all along. Now, I don't need to remind you, you know, in the first three chapters of this great epistle, we have such incredible, essential, beautiful, fundamental, necessary doctrines of the Christian faith, expounded by the apostle as only he can in those first three chapters. And our salvation, you remember, is set forth by the Apostle Paul in what we termed active Trinitarian involvement. That you have the work of the Father and the work of the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. At the same time, the Apostle Paul tells us who we are and what we are like. He describes our condition by nature. And how essential it is, he says, for us to know that our salvation is entirely of the Lord and none of it is of ourselves. And the sooner men and women and people around